And I love it, though. It keeps you energized. It keeps you interested. It's the most varied job I've ever had, and that's part of it. So no, the off season, I look forward to football, but I think we could all use a little summer first.
You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Marshall give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
I'm Matt Marshall, and we're here at the American Athletic Conference Football Media Days. I'm being joined here, special guest, by the Commissioner, Mike Oresko. Mike, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Matt.
Today you start things off, kick things off with a little about talking a little bit about your message. What specifically? I know you mentioned the Power Six. What did you want to get across today as part of your message?
I think it was just a handful of things. I wanted to stay on message with our P6 campaign, you know, Power Six. I think that's really important in defining who we are. And I wanted to back that up with some facts and figures that maybe, you know, the audience and you know, the listeners didn't know, such as the number of games that we've won against the P5 recently, the number of games that we've had over 1 million viewers, TV. We're a popular conference. People enjoy watching us. So I wanted to get that across. And then I wanted to talk about the Power Six campaign and why we think we've, earned that designation. Because I think it was a media creation originally, and now we're trying to, you know, basically say, look, there's no admittance to it. You know, nobody admits you. It's a question of whether you and the viewers and people out there, the fans, think we deserve to be in it. So I pushed that, of course. And then I heard that I'm the only one who's done this so far, but I talked about health and safety because I think it's important. I think it's the elephant in the room that we don't want to ignore. You know, we have been in the forefront. We outlawed hits hits to a stationary quarterback, at the knees. We outlawed, we were instrumental in getting legislation passed that outlawed hitting a sliding quarterback or a runner who's clearly given himself up. So we felt that, you know, that was important to talk about. And then concussions. And then the attack on football. You know, the people who say parents should discourage their kids from playing football. And I think you need to tackle those things, no pun intended, head on. Because, you know, we need to have a robust sport that is thriving. And you're not going to have that if you don't have youth participation. And I'm not editorializing on when kids should start playing football, but high school football, college football, it's a rough, tough game. And my point was in the speech, look, it's a rough game, but we have made it safer. There's no sport that has contact that is going to be without risk. You can't eliminate it, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't play that sport. It doesn't mean that sport isn't a great heirloom over 150 years. It's been wonderful to a lot of people. I played high school football, got a lot out of it. And I think in the end, you want to make sure that not only is it healthy, but you're addressing issues like health and safety. Because if you don't address them, somebody's going to address them for you in a way that you don't want. And in a way, and frankly, if you don't address them, you're letting your kids down. You know, you want to make sure that you're doing everything you can to make sure that this game is, is safe, as safe as it can be. So that was another theme. And then finally, I just wanted to recognize, a number of people who've been important to the conference. And we're thrilled to have Vern Lundquist. I should mention that. I mean, having Vern here really was, great for us. And there's a different feeling around this meeting this year. You know, last year that Big 12 cloud hung over us without question. This year I think there's a feeling of confidence, optimism, or upbeat. The P6 campaign is part of that. We had to put it on hold a bit, as you understand, and we didn't know what we'd have in the aftermath of the whole Big 12. Now that we're intact and we continue to succeed, we had the big wins by Houston last year over Louisville and Oklahoma. We had other big wins. We continue to do well. We're strengthening ourselves top to bottom. It's time to talk about the Power Six. So that's a main theme here.
Your branding obviously is all over here today and last couple days, and you've seen it all over the big P6, and then you have the power with the six, with the E being replaced by the six. How has that message, do you feel like, been received by everyone in the last, 9 months or so, 10-12 months that you put it out?
I think it's been well received. We wouldn't have done this 3 or 4 years ago, and I don't think it would have been particularly well received had we done that. We might have had it. We wanted people either to embrace it, or at least say, they've got a shot, rather than laugh at us and say, this is just a marketing thing, doesn't mean anything. That's not happening. You know, the media is talking about it. Some of the media are calling us the unofficial Sixth Power Conference. I think eventually that P6 is a subliminal thing. You know, eventually it becomes embedded in your consciousness if you repeat it enough, and if you've got something to back it up. You know, you can't just do it as a marketing thing. If we were not the conference we are, I don't know that I'd be doing this, and I don't know that we could do it with, you know, we could do it with any conviction. But we can do it with conviction now because I think we've achieved a lot. And you've seen us. You've seen what UCF did in the early years. You've seen what USF's doing now. You've seen what the conference has achieved. You've seen attendance go up. You've seen media attention multiply. You've seen the naysayers melt away a little bit. You know, there were a lot of them 5 years ago, but now you can't argue with our success and how well we've done and some of the high profile wins we've had.
The you talking about with the Power Six theme going forward, how important is it then for, as you mentioned, the big wins you had last year, how important is it then to continue that success, you know, going into this year, especially when you look around and you have a lot of new faces around and coaches? You got 5 new coaches.
Yeah, this could be a pivotal year, Matt. I think 2 years ago was the breakout year. I think that was the year that really firmly established our conference as a P6, you know, challenger, because we won so many of the big games, and we had a great October. We almost beat Notre Dame, you know, with Temple. We finished, you know, really up there. What do we have to do? You know, I don't think we have to win all of our games, but I think we have to be competitive. We have to continue to be competitive. We have to win some of them. We've got a tough deal this year. We've got a lot of tough games on the road, at Oklahoma State, at Michigan, you know, at Ohio State, at Oklahoma, you know, at TCU. Not an easy deal, and I haven't mentioned half of them. But I think if you win some and you show you're competitive and you keep the momentum going, you know, and I think that's what, you know, you ask, well, you know, you've got a lot of new coaches. You're right, and that makes it a pivotal year also, because this is the first time in the years I've been here that we've lost this many coaches, you know, 5 coaches. And you know, and I know that we hire the best young assistants in the country. That's our formula, and it's worked. But we hope it continues to work. You know, we've had very few misses. You know, we've done really well. You know, look what Philip Montgomery's done at Tulsa. You know, look what Chad Morris is doing at SMU. Look what Mike Norvell did in his first year at Memphis. And look what Scott Frost did to resurrect UCF, you know, from 0-12 to at least 6-6. Some of the other young coaches have done in our league. And we've got to just hope that that formula sticks, because, you know, we're not hiring those. Charlie Strong coming, he's a veteran, and he's got a great pedigree, and he's done great, you know, at Florida, as coordinator at Louisville. Obviously, he didn't have as much success in Texas, but he's still a terrific coach and a terrific guy. So you hope he has success. You know, he's a rare veteran, though. Kenny Niumatalolo is another. But Luke Fickell, defensive coordinator at Ohio State, fits the pattern. But you make a good point. You know, when you have that many new coaches, it's a pivotal year. If you know, they don't turn out to be as good as the previous coaches that we've had, then obviously the league will struggle a bit. But I don't think that's going to happen. That hasn't been the pattern. You know, Jeff Collins, a Florida defensive coordinator, you probably know who he is. At Temple now, so we'll see.
The one of the things I wanted to ask is, you talked about a big year, obviously, on the field. Next year or so, the conference television deal is going to be up again. You mentioned earlier, I heard you say, you know, it's not a negotiation, so to speak, or it's about dictating terms. It's more about working with your partners. What is that going to be like for you guys, and how do you feel like that you can benefit from the success you've had recently and this Power Six push?
Well, Matt, you know, it's critical for us. We're going to isolate what we think our strengths are. We're going to try to, you know, convince people that we can do this and that for them, that we are a valuable property, that we really are a P6 property, that when they have us, they're getting great quality games. They're getting games against top non-conference teams. They're getting everything they want, and we have enough product for multiple platforms. So you need that now with online and everything else that's going on. But you're absolutely right. It's going to be huge. That negotiation will probably take place early 2019, which is, heck, hardly a year. It's not even a year and a half away, essentially. In addition, we have to do. We'll talk to ESPN in 18 to see whether maybe they want to redo the deal. And that's going to depend. You know, a lot of it's just revenue at this point. You know, we need more revenue, and we think we can generate more revenue because we're far more valuable. Doing those Thursday Fridays is valuable. Not everybody can do those games. You saw some of the bigger conferences kind of rebel when they were asked to do it. Our guys know who they are, and they're willing to do it. But TV is absolutely front. You know, it's the premier concern right now.
You mentioned in your opening remarks about cord cutting and the concerns, obviously, following that around. As a you have been in the business, not as just a commissioner, but also in the television aspect of things. How important is it to, you know, look at new avenues, look at things like streaming, look at, you know, Twitter? You know, I know the Conference USA is doing Twitter at some of the games. How important is that as a commissioner to kind of look at all those kind of options?
It's important. On the other hand, you want to make sure you can monetize this. You know, the revenue is going to be the big thing. There are plenty of new platforms, and that's exciting. But are they committed to live sports, and are they generating the kind of rights fees that we're going to need? You know, I mean, I don't know yet. But, yeah, we're going to talk to all those guys, and we already have. You know, I've been out to Silicon Valley. I think it's really important. Also, I think any deal that we do is going to have an online component. It can't not anymore because it's too important a way to distribute it. And that's essentially what we're talking about now. We're not even talking about TV anymore. We're talking about distribution. How do you distribute a product?
Yeah.
But, you know, again, cord cutting, it's real. I acknowledge that. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't buy the doom and gloom scenarios. I think ESPN, if we're a strong product and we're providing great Thursdays, counterintuitively, they're not going to want to lose another good product in the wake of all the cord cutting and everything else. So it's up to us, really. And some of it is, some of it isn't. You know, some of it is just perception that we can try to change but not necessarily do anything about.
Off-season that we've had, what have you been up to? I mean,
It tends to be a busier, you know, basketball ended, of course, you know, beginning of April, went to the Final Four. Then we had the CFP meetings in Dallas in April. And then we segued into May, and we had our conference meetings in May. We also had some other things that we had to do. And then in June, we had the CCA, the conference commissioners meeting. In addition, now we've obviously moved Media Day up to the middle of July. So it's been preparing for different sessions and meetings and that kind of thing. Haven't had any vacation yet, but it'll probably take some beginning of August. I think, though, we've spent a lot of time, I've spent a lot of time meeting media people. I went out to Silicon Valley. I've met with the network presidents. I've met with, not all of them, but I met with a number of them. I'll be meeting with ESPN in August. You were trying to lay the groundwork for TV down the road. And so, you know, there's always, I looked at my calendar and realized there are probably only 2 months in it when there weren't events or meetings or whatever that you had to go to. And I think August, I think, is pretty clear. And I think February might be, I go to basketball games in February.
Yeah, yeah.
But there aren't any, you know, the NCAA conventions in January, the CFP championship games in January. Whether you're in it or not, you got to go as a commissioner because there's a meeting of the board of managers there. You know, in March, of course, it's the March Madness. April, the Final Four, the CFP meeting. You know, May, you've got the May. I forgot about our coaches, football
yeah.
coaches meeting out in Phoenix. Forgot about that. So we were out there for a week in Phoenix, and then we stayed briefly for the Fiesta Summit, and then we went. You know, we had our own spring meeting. So there's June CCA, as I mentioned. There's always something going on, and I love it, though. It keeps you energized. It keeps you interested. It's the most varied job I've ever had, and that's part of it. So the off-season, I look forward to football, but I think we could all use a little summer first.
Yeah, before it gets into it.
Yeah.
And are you planning on making a trip to UCF anytime soon?
Yeah, I didn't last year because of this whole Big 12 thing threw me off, and I ended up there were four schools I didn't get to last year. I will be at UCF for sure. You can take that to the bank. I definitely will. I just don't know which game yet.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. We've been speaking with American Athletic Conference Commissioner Mike Oresko, who's my special guest on the podcast, and appreciate your time. Thank you a lot.
Matt, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Matt. Stay tuned for more. You can subscribe online, or you can download from iTunes, and look for more stories on OrlandoSentinel.com.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.